We will now move to that portion of the agenda of public comment for general public comment. And as I call each individual's name, if you would come forward to the podium. I will also at the same time call a second name, and if you could come and stand behind the swinging door and be ready to begin your public comment as the individual in front of you completes their time. We have allocated 3 minutes today, and just as a reminder, this is general public comment on administration, general administration of justice. Please remember, we're not an adjudicatory body. We cannot resolve your individual claims. It's not appropriate for you to discuss or talk about your individual claims, and that there shouldn't be any personal attacks on the individuals involved in your cases. Again, we're here to listen to general administration of justice issues, and if you do begin to make personal or direct contact comments in that regards, I'm going to ask you to move to your next point. So we'll first hear from Mr. E.T. Snell, and if I could have Anna Saucedo, if you could approach the swinging door. So, Mr. Snell, and again, please remember you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Good morning, Council. My name is E.T. Snell. I hail from San Bernardino County, the largest county under your purview. My website is www.etsnell.com. First off, I want to talk about the Helen DiStefano case. I've been researching these child protective services issues, and they're really appalling. Helen DiStefano was a grandmother who was certified and was approved to have her grandchildren. I'm filing this writ for her today, and I'd like to give a copy, and maybe some of you could pass it around and try to help us get these children back that are illegally taken. We're using the tool we're using is the writ of habeas corpus. There are many things that are upside down in the judiciary, as we all know. A look at the state bail bonds issues compared to the federal court, where the state court wants double the equity as the federal court does. And the reason the bail bondsmen were thrown out of federal court because they were linked to racketeering. That's back in the 70s with the Bail Bond Reform Act. Another thing is stenographers. Why are we not using videos? They're more accurate. They don't miss. They don't make mistakes. And videos don't lie. Today I wish to address the illegal drug screenings. Since 1990, over 1 million children have been put in foster care and are legally taken behind these illegal tests. The legislators enacted Penal Code Section 11165.3.
1 minute left.
That states drug screening cannot be reported as abuse or neglect, yet they do it every day. In direct violation of these laws, hospitals report drug screening to CPS. The legislator determined that drug screens are inherently false. The legislator has ruled that the screenings are junk science. They have went from $5 to $99. They are illegal because there are no consents. These people aren't signing consents. There's no consent orders, and there's no medical necessity. The kicker is the billing is used as a false diagnosis. You know, I in San Bernardino, your court down there is beautiful. You spend millions of dollars. We're the biggest county around. Why can't we have some teleconferencing for the outlying areas? I mean, it's 2 or 3 hours. And it just seems like all that money you spent just went right down the tube because these people, if you say you're trying to service a people, you've got to get in some video conferencing out there. Thank you.
Time.
Have a great day.
And just so you know, Mr. Snell, the document, we don't accept writ filings. We're not authorized.
Yeah, right. But I'd like you to look at it. Maybe we can get some help to get these killers
okay,
back.
Thank you.
Mrs.
Anna Saucedo, and if we could have Roberta Fitzpatrick, if you could approach the Anna Saucedo, if you could make your public comment, and if we could have Roberta Fitzpatrick stand behind the swinging doors. Thank you and good morning. 3 minutes, please.
Good morning. I am Roberta Fitzpatrick from San Jose. Excuse me. Chief Justice, and council members. Design flaws can be deadly. A jury recently held that Chrysler acted with, quote, reckless or wanton disregard for human life in the design or sale of a vehicle in which a 4-year-old boy was incinerated because of a rear-end collision. The family code is designed with deadly flaws which allow judges with impunity to knowingly send children to live in danger. Many children have lived in abusive or sexual servitude and have been murdered. There was no equal access to justice for those children or for their families and mine, which now have a box of ashes or a grave with their children's names. Please search your souls and find the honesty and integrity to change your policies, which have spawned these sordid and unjust laws. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen Russell, and then if we could have Anna Maria Jones next. Good morning, and thank you. 3 minutes.
Okay, good morning. Thank you, Chief Justice, members of the Council. CJE, the Center for Judicial Excellence, has become the de facto complaint agency for family court litigants in the state. We send our people that come to us routinely to the Commission on Judicial Performance, which, Chief Justice, I understand you make 3 of the 11 appointments to that body. The CJP, as many of you know, came out with their 2014 annual report last week. And there were 728 proper complaints. Only 43 judges were disciplined out of 728 proper complaints. The CJP is broken. It doesn't work. And we have an accountability crisis in the California courts. In what parallel universe can judges Scott Steiner and Corey Woodward have sex in their chambers and remain on the bench? Where in the California canons of judicial ethics is this behavior becoming of a judicial officer? The CJP is an embarrassment to the judicial branch. In the Siegendahler case, the Court of Appeals said, the rules of procedure for reaching family law decisions contained in the Family Code, the Code of Civil Procedures, the California Rules of Court, and local court rules are not mere suggestions. The rules of procedure are commands which ensure fairness by their enforcement. A few years ago, the Association of Certified Family Law Specialists said, in connection with Elkins, today's California courts cannot honor the basic promises made to family law litigants in our Constitution, statutes, rules of court, and case law.
1 minute.
The disconnect between the due process mandate set forth in cases like Elkins and Siegendahler and the realities experienced by most represented and unrepresented litigants to California family law proceedings is dramatic. That disconnect to due process is stronger than ever today. SB 594 offers a manageable and efficient way, a mandatory child custody evaluation form created by the Judicial Council,
30 seconds,
to help assure courts, lawyers, and litigants that those who are making life-altering decisions impacting the lives of children in California are aware of and following state-mandated child custody evaluation standards and procedures. We look forward to partnering with the Judicial Council in passing this important legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Anna Maria Jones, and then if I could have Anna Saucedo approach the swinging gate. Good morning, and 3 minutes. Thank you.
Good morning, Council. I'm Anna Maria Jones. I am from Modoc County, which is the county in California that borders Oregon and Nevada with less than 10,000 people. This public comment is in regards to access to justice and a branch's self-assessment, which are, I know, top priorities with the Chief Justice. My very long and painful and heartbreaking history with the California judicial system and its denial of justice began almost 30 years ago with my court-ordered kidnapping by then Modoc Judge Bob Barkley in July of 1987, and culminating with the court-ordered heist and shakedown of my land and home valued at $525,000 by court appraiser Retzlaw. My personal belongings valued at maybe another $100,000 to $200,000 were looted and plundered and ruined and destroyed. This denial of justice, to put it mildly, has received the support of neighboring county judges like Shasta, Butte, Tama, Lassen, Siskiyou, Sierra, and Plumas, and a judge in Marin County in 1987. Any attorney that has practiced in Modoc since 1987 has given their support, if not actually participated, in this denial of justice, and of course attorneys are officers of the court. You don't have to believe what I am saying, but it seems like there should be a way to verify what I am saying. And I know in the government code under claims procedures, it talks about preventing recurring activity that would be the subject of recurring claims. Where there is a will, there is a way. And I would like the judicial branch to maybe find a way for me to obtain justice. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Ana Saucedo. And if I could then have Tammy Leonis step to the swinging gate. Good morning.
In 3 minutes. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm here to talk about and emphasize the importance of the code 3118, the family code. In my situation, it was not followed procedurally. My family court hearing was in Watsonville, California, under the rulings of Judge Bonquist. So what I'm here to talk about is how important child protection should be, and how we all here, I'm sure, have children, how important it is to protect our children under the judicial system. My little son was taken away illegally from me when he was only 5 years old, and they had claimed that I was a flight risk, yet there was no evidence to verify proof whatsoever. So under the psychological evaluation also, he was taken away in the middle of that investigation, which was illegal as well. The court, in Santa Cruz, my case was under investigation with Detective Elizabeth Butler, who was shot and killed in the middle of my investigation of my son and my ex-husband, of the abuse that was disclosed by me and my little son. So I want to emphasize how important it is that we need to protect our children. And apparently that's not going on here in the judicial system. That all judges, all family court members have the responsibility to protect young kids. My little boy was only 5 years old. He was adopted from Taiwan. Now he's under the primary custody of his father. I only have supervised visits. Why? I don't know. It's been going on for 2 years. My little boy had came to me one day, I visited him, and he had said, "Mama, when I grow up, I'm going back to Taiwan." He's only 8 years old now.
1 minute.
I believe I'm so just very saddened that the judicial council, the judicial commission, the judges, the court system did not protect my son in the United States. And here he is now, 8 years old, telling me he wants to move back to Taiwan, his birth country. This is a very sad situation. It is going on all over the United States, and we need to take responsibility for all the judges, for all the court psychological evaluators, and be responsible for their actions and really stand up for children and their rights, because they have no rights. In our country, this is happening all the time. Everyone here needs to really sit back and look at what's going on. The abuse, what's going on to our children.
15 seconds.
Here. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Connie Valentine. This is our last public comment. 3 minutes, and good morning, and thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing me. I would like to ask for your support also for SB 594. which would create a bill, a form to make it easier for professionals to comply with all the complex laws and rules governing custody disputes investigations. 15 years ago, SB 1716 created protocols to protect children in divorce cases, and it was designed to apply to all recommending employees and appointees, the Judicial Council, FlexCom, County Welfare and District Attorneys Associations were an integral part of that process. But today, professionals tell us they didn't even know about the statutory requirements in Family Codes 3110.5 through 3118. The intent of the bill was simply to collect and provide uniform case information and recommendations only for child safety and therapy. It was never the intent for court employees or mental health appointees to make de facto custody and visitation decisions through their recommendations for custody. It was never the intent for the court to appoint expensive experts under Evidence Code 730 when questions of child safety arise, especially experts who are not qualified, especially in domestic violence, child abuse, or substance abuse. It was never the intent for attorneys to encourage parties to stipulate to an expert because the judge would frown on them if they did not do so. And then for the court to appoint the stipulated expert so parties couldn't sue them if they were overcharged for a shoddy report. It was never the intent for these employee appointees to routinely conduct mental examinations, which are allowed only for good cause shown under Civil Code of Procedure 2032. They were supposed to be looking at domestic violence, child abuse, or substance abuse. It was never the intent to then order the parties to pay huge fees, up to $60,000.
1 minute.
Directly to the appointees, contrary to Family Code 3112. And finally, it was never the intent to have unstipulated reports provided to the courts without an evidentiary hearing. Yet those things happen daily, as you've heard. This form detailing the requirements would help solve this egregious problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have one more public speaker on general administration. I turn it over to Justice Miller.
Yes, if Helen Lynn could come forward, please. Thank you, and good morning, and you have 3 minutes.
Okay, good morning. There are no courts in California that place child safety as a priority. Violence against women is a misnomer. It is actually male violence against women. Domestic violence is mostly male violence against women. The United States Department of Justice found judges award custody to abusive fathers based on parental alienation. You on the council have the power to mandate protecting children take top precedent. Yolo County, father testified he grabbed mother by the throat, threw her up against the wall, and suffers from traumatic brain injuries. This father was awarded custody while mother was convicted of fleeing to protect her baby. This father stated his father got custody, and it was super confusing and super scary. Mothers are being jailed for protecting their children. Law enforcement, whose duty it is to enforce judges' orders, prosecutors and judges, make it impossible for mothers to protect their children. Abuse and neglect kill, maim, and emotionally destroy children. 82% of children that are abused to death are 3 years old and under. The three biggest risk factors for child fatalities are domestic violence, mental illness, and substance abuse. It is time to end the era of abusive fathers' rights trumping child safety.
1 minute.
Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you. That completes public comment, Chief.
Thank you.